I'd like to begin tonight's homily with reading you a short sentence, and I will take off from that. Remember, today, and if we had the screens, you would have already known this, but today is the final Sunday of ordinary time, and next Sunday we start Advent, and today is the Feast of Christ the King. It is the feast day that ends the church's liturgical year. So the question comes down to this. So what does that mean? What does the Feast of Christ the King mean? To me, this sentence says it all. It says this. The Feast of Christ the King is a profession of the faith that states that there is an ultimate moral standard to the universe. That all is not flux. That all is not random. That the good, the true, and the beautiful will triumph in the end over darkness, ugliness, and selfishness. Let me just read it again because I want this to sink in. The Feast of Christ the King is a profession of the faith that states that there is an ultimate moral standard to the universe, that all is not in flux or random, that the good, the true, the beautiful will triumph in the end over darkness, ugliness, and selfishness. Thank you. Now, what exactly does that have to do with Christ the King? And what it does is, I would like to, on this final day of the liturgical year, remind you that there is basically two ways of approaching life in our culture, in Western culture. We could say a lot about different cultures, but we're not going to get into that. It's too long. In our culture, you have one alternative, which it's been called many things, but I will call it progressive secularism. Progressive secularism. And on the other side, you have Christianity. Now, the reason why I think this is so important is that Christ the King is an assertion. It is an assertion of the fact that the universe has meaning, that the universe has a creator, that there is an objective right and wrong to the universe, and that we have a destiny that has been prepared by a great power. The great power, which we will call God. I always want you to remember that when you call something God, I use the term that God is a box. Now, the reason I say that God is a box is because the word God has been used way before Judaism and Christianity ever began. It was used singular and in plural, God and gods. And so the word God is actually a category. It's actually a box. Now, for example, let me give you an example. If I were to say to you, how many here believe in God? And of course, all of us would raise our hands, or most of us. And what would happen is, I would raise my hand too. But then, I would ask you all, who is your God? Because my God happens to be one of the trees outside. And before we started church today, I was kneeling in front of the tree, praying and offering a sacrifice to that tree. That tree is my God. Do I believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. Do I believe in the same God you do? No. But notice, we all believe in God. When you say we all believe in God, all you're saying is there's something inside the box called God. Now, the question that comes in next time is, so who's inside the box? Or is the box empty? Because there are the people who say the box is empty. We call them atheists. The people who say, I don't know, we call them agnostics. And the people who say, well, there's someone inside that box, we call them theists. Now, the question is, who? And of course, for us, the answer is the God that was shown to us by Jesus. Remember, there's a lot of different understandings of God. If you pick, for example, the God that is shown to us by Muhammad, that God is very different from the Christian God. First of all, that's not a Trinity. Second of all, the God of Islam does not love you. You are his servant, his creature. And his caring for you depends on you being good. If not, you're off. The God of Hindus is a totally different one. So is the God of Buddhism. And we could go on and on and on. Even in the ancient world, the gods of the Aztecs required blood and human sacrifice. But they were still called God. And so on one side, you have the Christians who say, not only is there a God, but the God that we believe in is the God that was revealed to us in Jesus. Now, where's the other part? Secular progressivism. Now, let me just take a moment to define that very quickly. Secular, some of us who are older, when Mass was done in Latin, if you remember, we used to say in the end, for example, of the Our Father, the Glory Be to the Father, we end with saying, forever and ever, amen. In Latin, we used to say, in secula seculorum, amen. Secula seculorum, secula means the age, the present age. And seculorum is the plural, the many ages. And so when you call something secular, what you're saying is, the truth is only for now, for this age. It has nothing to do with anything that's eternal. It's now. And so a secular person says there is no truth other than the here and now. Progressive, why? Because they say, basically secular progressives say, we're in charge of ourselves. And we can make progress without referring to God at all. We can do it on our own. We're in charge of ourselves. And it makes a lot of difference. A lot of difference. Because when you begin to ask the questions about, for example, morality, is assisted suicide permissible? Well, if you're a secular progressive and you say, we're in charge of ourselves, your body is your own. You can blow your brains out whenever you want. It's perfectly okay. You can have a doctor help you to kill yourself. Why? My body, my choice. I can decide whatever I choose with my own body. There are no boundaries. And even if there were, we say, well, the law says it's not, you can't do that. Well, the reason, then all you're saying is whatever the majority decides is good or evil. So then you're not living in a world of morality. You are living in a world of legality. Because there is nothing objectively right and wrong. All that there is what we vote on. And if we vote that we don't like, say, Hispanics, we could kill all the Hispanics, which would include me. Why? Why would you say that's wrong? It isn't. It isn't wrong because there is no morality. There's nothing objectively that says, I can't do this. And you know who did that, don't you? Three people. I'm not going to mention the obvious one first. The first one, Stalin. Millions of people. The second one, Mao Zedong in China. The third one, obviously, Hitler. And then it goes on with a lot of different ones, such as Pol Pot and other dictators, Mussolini, and other dictators that have done ethnic cleansing and genocide. Why? Because what's that old saying? In order to make an omelet, you gotta break a few eggs. And they deemed it that since there is no objective right and wrong, and they wanted to do something good for humanity, it's okay to kill a few people. Because why? There is no objective morality. There's nothing that is right and wrong. This is something that I always find tremendously interesting. When the Nazis were brought to trial in Nuremberg after World War II, what they claimed was, we didn't commit any crimes. And the Allies said, well, what do you mean? You killed millions of people. And they said, yeah, but it was legal. It was legal. And we did under orders what was legal. So a crime is defined by violating a law. We didn't violate any law. Now, if we would have killed the Jews in England, then that would be a crime because it was against the law in England. But in Germany, it wasn't against the law. And so we didn't commit a crime. And the Allies started going, how are we going to do this? And you know what they had to do? They had to go back to the philosophical and religious tradition and invent something that had not existed. They invented crimes against humanity. Before that, that had never been used. Crimes against humanity. And you know what that comes from? Natural law. That says there is something greater than laws people can make. That you can't make a law, no matter how many people vote on it, you can't make a law if it violates the nature of human beings, the natural law that's embedded in our hearts and in our minds. And so what you have today is a choice. Humanity is given a choice. Now, granted, we use Christ the King. Now, I've always teased a little bit because the way I tease a little bit is this. I always say, well, you know, we don't have kings and queens these days. We ought to make something a little more relevant. Why don't we say, instead of calling this Christ the King, let's call it Christ the President. We would all vote for him. Or how about this? Christ the Prime Minister. Sounds great. Why don't we do that? You know why? Because presidents and prime ministers rely on the vote of the people. Because it is government by the people, for the people. But a king does not care whether you like him or not. A king does not need your vote to rule. A king has authority whether you like it or not. And you see, what the Catholic Church is saying is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. And sorry if you don't like it. It does not alter the truth. And so we end this day, we end this year, by making that affirmation that Christ the King represents the faith that says that the world has meaning, purpose, reason, that everything is not in flux, that everything is not up to whatever we want it to be, that we don't own ourselves. We state that the beginning of this universe began when God, that being that we understand, that revealed by Jesus, somehow brought the universe. I like also to joke about it when people say, because see, I believe in the Big Bang. I really do. I think in the beginning, there was nothing, and God said, bang! And the universe was created. That makes total sense to me. Total sense to me. And the universe has been expanding since. And by the way, that is, in physics, it is provable that the universe had a beginning. Provable. And you know how they prove it? This is very, it's an aside, but it's interesting. The guys that do astronomy, they pick a star or a planet, they pick a star. And then what they do is they plot in the sky where the star is on a particular date. And then they wait for a few days or a week, and then they look again and they try to see where is the star. And the stars move. And they're farther away. And so they plot that over time. And so they have a star going from here to here to here to here. And it's expanding. And so they say, ha, if we can calculate the movement over, say, a week or over a year, if over a year the star went from here to here, then over here to here and another year, then we can calculate the speed. And we can calculate backwards where the whole thing started. And that's where they get that the universe exploded into being 3 billion years ago. That's a scientific calculation. And even if you believe in multiverses, it doesn't matter. Somewhere it had to start. An ever-expanding universe has to have something that made it go bang. Okay? And so what we believe as Christians is totally reasonable. We believe that there is one God, the Father Almighty, that He is the creator of heaven and earth. You'll say it in the creed. We, the world outlook that we have, that Larry will lead us on, is the world outlook of a creator, of things that make sense, of truth and beauty, of goodness. That is the world that we live in. Unfortunately, we are in the middle of a cultural civil war. It's no longer just a little conflict. Our whole Western tradition is being divided by people who say no, the secular progressives that are saying, hey, we're in charge and we do whatever we, and I'm using this intentionally, whatever we damn well please. Because we're in charge of the universe and we can do whatever we want. And so, you gotta make a choice. You gotta make a choice about how you're going to live. Are you gonna live according to either way? And once you make the choice, there are consequences to the choices that you make. And so, my friends, we are at the end of the liturgical year. It's Christ the King, or as I like to say, what secular progressivism, if I could say what secular progressivism is in one word, you know what it would be? Whatever. Whatever. Because there are no standards. It's whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay? Christ the King, or whatever.